Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're going to continue our presentation of Yahweh's Psalms, the words set to music, which explain his view of his Torah. And then we will re-engage the most egregious, most deadly liar of all time, Paul, through his first letter. That's to the Galatians. In the previous programs, we began with Psalm 40, around the 8th verse. I'll pick it up there, and then we'll move into new territory. This is Dode, who's the author. His name means beloved. He has his name has been corrupted to David. At that time I shared, "Behold, I am coming with the scroll of the written document which was dictated and scribed on my behalf, regarding the work you have done and will do to accept me, God. I genuinely want and willingly accept this." Right? Powerful statement. Dode, reading the Word of God, which was comprised at that time exclusively of the Torah, recognized that the Torah was a written document. Therefore, the words were unchanging. It was dictated, inscribed on his behalf and on your and my behalf. It covers the work that Yahweh has done and will do to accept him and as well as you and me. The means that Yahweh used to resolve the disputes between he and Dode are the same that he will use for you and me. And that is that if we also come to him carrying the written document which pledges his support for us, that delineates the work he has done and will do to accept us, and we accept that, willingly accept it, then we are perfect in his eyes. We're saved. We're granted entry to heaven. Come with the Torah. And it can't just come with the Torah, you know. Yes, Dode is coming to God and expecting entrance into God's home because he is carrying the Torah. But it's more than that. He's come to understand that the Torah declares Yahweh's work on our behalf, particularly the work that he did through the first four and soon to be fulfilled seven Moed Mikre, Pesach, Matzah, Bikurim, Shavuah, Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah, which were God enabled the path to him, facilitated flawed individuals becoming immortal and perfect, adopted children who were enriched and enlightened participants of his family. When you know that because you've read it, and when you understand that because you've considered it, and when you've accepted that, as Dode has done, willingly, then you have an express ticket to God's home. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. And Dode recognized it. He went on to say, "Your Torah, your instruction and teaching, your guidance and direction is within the midst of my inner nature." He incorporated it into the very fabric of his life. "I have proclaimed the good news of vindication fairly and accurately, responsibly, honestly, and correctly, in the great assembly. Behold, my lips have not been restrained, Yahweh." When Yahusha talks about proclaiming, and you'll read in your English Bibles, the gospel, well, there's no word remotely akin to gospel. The Greek word which underlies it is euangelion. It means the good news, the healing and beneficial messenger and message. But Yahusha didn't speak Greek. And so the Greek is simply a translation of what he said. He spoke Hebrew. And the Hebrew word, accurately translated euangelion, is Bashar. And so if you want to know, when he spoke of spreading the good news, the healing and beneficial message, using Bashar, what he was talking about, he's citing what Dode said. David, it's the Torah. It's the healing and redempting and accepting nature of the Torah. That's what he is sharing. That's what he wants us to share. The good news. You know, there is nothing that Yosha says that isn't already said in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And so when he speaks of spreading and sharing the good news, corrupted to gospel in your English Bibles, underlined by the Greek word euangelion, which was a translation of what he actually said, Bashar. He was speaking of this, of the Torah, of the written scroll which was dictated and scribed on our behalf, regarding the work Yahweh has done to accept you and me. That's what he was sharing. That's why his first sermon focuses on the enduring and redemptive nature of the Torah. I have proclaimed the good news of vindication. That's what the Torah is all about. Paul, and therefore Christianity, claims that the Torah cannot vindicate. That's the most caustic line in all of Pauline doctrine, and it comes up early in his original letter, his first letter that to the Galatians. The Torah cannot save. And yet Yosha spoke the good news of the vindication of the Torah fairly and accurately, as did Dode. In the great assembly, behold, my lips have not been restrained, Yahweh. Very often on this program, we have Larry who calls in. You know, Larry is extraordinarily simple in his approach. Powerful, but basic. Yahweh's approach is that if you come to him and you are promoting a religious agenda, he will confront you with Yahweh's words. If you are unmoved by Yahweh's words, if Yahweh's words are not considered important to you, valid to you, then he will simply disassociate from you. If you consider Yahweh's words intriguing, valuable, insightful, then he will continue to communicate with you. But that's all he ever does. It's all he should do. It is what Dode did. He's following his example. You yourself know, you respect and acknowledge that I have not hidden nor concealed your means to achieve righteousness through vindication in the midst of my heart. And that's the bottom line. When we become children of Yahweh, when we accept the terms and conditions of the covenant as they are presented in the Torah, when we walk to Yahweh along the path that he has provided as delineated in the Torah, when we come to know Yahweh based upon his introduction to us in the Torah, once we come to celebrate the Torah and make it an integrated part of our lives, as Dode has done here, it is our desire to share. We don't hide it. I suspect that we're incapable of hiding it. It simply pours out from us because it is wonderful, uplifting, enjoyable, beneficial, truthful, reliable, trustworthy, awesomely merciful, and vindicating, empowering, and enlightening. It's all of those things. And so we share it. And you, as a listener, have the opportunity to ignore it, to reject it, to oppose it, or to do what Dode did here, David. Simply accept it. Either way, no matter the choice, it's yours. And Dode is saying that he was devoted to sharing what he had learned. He says, I have spoken about your trustworthiness and your reliable nature, your emunah, and your salvation, your Yeshua. I have not hidden or concealed your mercy, your chesed, your integrity, honesty, and steadfast reliability, emet, on behalf of the Great Assembly. Yahweh has a plan of salvation. It's only one. It's presented in a trustworthy and reliable manner in one place, the Torah. It is the source of mercy, which is honest and steadfastly reliable. You know what? He went on to write, "You will not withhold your love and mercy from me. Your unfailing devotion, love, and unearned favor, your chesed, mercy was rakamim, which is actually the plural of, so it's mercies or loves. Love and mercy would serve to convey the plural of rakaim. Rakaim is the basis of Abraham, and is something that emanates from not only the Torah, but specifically from the covenant, which is why Abraham bears the name Ab, which is father, Rakim, Rakam, which would be singular. Rakim is, Rakamim is plural. But Ab Rakam is because he's a stand-in, a symbol of Yahweh as our merciful Father. So Yahweh, you will not withhold your love and mercy from me, your unfailing devotion and unearned favor. Moreover, your integrity, honesty, and trustworthiness continually protect me from harm, and they spare my life, for indeed you are surrounding me, providing a covering for me, God. This is Psalm 40:12. The insights here are all worth affirming. Once you've come to embrace the Yahweh's Torah, you've read it, you understand what it has to say, you've accepted it, you've incorporated it into the fabric of your life. Once you recognize that it's Yahweh working on our behalf throughout the Torah, that He is its author, then you know. There is a 0% possibility that Yahweh would withhold His mercy from you. Yes, when you have read the Torah, when you've come to understand who Yahweh is, come to like Him, come to respect Him, come to understand what He's offering through the covenant, what He expects of us, the five conditions for participating in the covenant, and accept those, and receive the Torah as not only God's instruction, but make it part of the fabric of your life, His guidance, His teaching, His directions. Then you know that when you arrive at heaven's door, that the Torah is part of you. You're taking it with you because it's integrated into your life. And because Yahweh is reliable, because He's trustworthy, because He did not annul His original plan and come up with a new plan, you know that that door will be thrown wide open for you. And on the other side, you're going to find Yahweh with a big smile and open arms, ready to embrace you. You don't have to wonder whether or not that's going to happen. You know it. Don't know it. I know it. So do all of us who have embraced the terms and conditions of the Torah. We know for certain, just as He did. He wasn't being arrogant when He says, Yahweh, you will not withhold your love and mercy, your unfailing devotion and unearned favor. Because He knew that Yahweh couldn't withhold it. He knew that Yahweh didn't want to withhold it. He knew that He had accepted the means that Yahweh had provided to accommodate these things. And He knew that Yahweh was honest. And therefore, He would spare His life. He knew it. No matter how many bad things He did, and Dod did lots of them, He was certain of this, just as I am. Just as you will be if you study the Torah. If you accept the terms and conditions of the covenant, you too will be surrounded and covered by God. Now, I am going to share with you the terms and conditions of the Torah before I finish these, but I want to finish the last two statements here. It says, for the entire duration of time, evil and wrongdoing will not be counted against me. I will not be able accordingly to see them, though they are more numerous than the hairs on my head. And my heart is restored, accepting and delighting with Yahweh saving me. Yahweh is prepared and ready, even excited about helping and supporting me, influencing and assisting me. Mizmor Song, Psalm 40, 8 through 14. When we're covered by God, we're covered in the essence of God, which is light. And therefore, we're in the presence of God's light, evil, wrongdoing are no longer visible. Light obliterates darkness, and Dode recognized that. And therefore, even though Dode had committed more conflicts against the Torah, had violated the Torah more times than he had hairs on his head, it did not matter, because everything he had done in his life that was inappropriate could no longer even be seen by God. Was not even known to him anymore. God obliterated all of it. He restored him. He was delighted with Yahweh, and delighted with Yahweh caused his delight with Yahweh caused Yahweh to help him, support him, assist him. There are five conditions of the covenant. There are five benefits of the covenant. There are five hands in Yahweh's name. There are five fingers on our hands. The very implement that we use to grasp hold of the Torah and to hold it before our eyes, the very tool that we would use to facilitate the sign of the covenant circumcision, the very tool that we use that enables us to be different than the animals, our hands with an opposable thumb. Through that design, Yahweh has shown us the way to him. You know, in his name, he emphasizes the hand. The first letter of his name is a yod. It's a hand. The Hebrew word means hand. It's depicted as a upper arm reaching down, a forearm reaching out with an open hand. The very way that we would reach down and out to our children to lift them up. Not to strike them, but to lift them up, to embrace them, to hold them, to walk arm in arm with them. This is what Yahweh's name is, how his name begins. The first letter of his name is a hand, followed by two people standing up, reaching up, secured and increased by the law. We'll be back with the terms of the covenant in a moment. I've shared this before, but since there are a few things more important, I'm going to share it again. There are five terms and conditions for participating in the covenant. The covenant is not free. It requires five things from you. And there is no salvation apart from the covenant. Now, while salvation is free to the covenant's children, unless you are a participant in the covenant, salvation is not accessible to you. So it's important to know what the conditions are for participating in the covenant. Now, before I share these with you, this is not a knee-jerk kind of thing. It isn't a, well, I'm just going to accept those things and I'm squared away with God and I'm just going to go ahead with life as it was before. I'm going to share what the five conditions are for participating in the covenant, but understand that you should not embrace them, and probably cannot embrace them, unless you've come to know who Yahweh is. Unless you've done what Dode has done, and fallen in love with the Torah. Read the Torah. Think about the Torah. Study the Torah. Which is where you'll find every one of these things I'm going to share with you. But there's no reason to become part of Yahweh's covenant family, unless you like him. Unless you are interested in the things that he's interested in. And if you don't like him, you know, if you prefer a God that wants to be worshipped, you're not going to like him very much. He doesn't want to be worshipped. If you like religious services, you're not going to like him at all. If you want to be hand-fed everything, just tell me what I need to do, you're not going to like him because that's not his style. And you'd be miserable for all eternity. And so you need to know that Yahweh, as he is introduced to us in his Torah, is very different than any religious God. He bears nothing in common with the Christian God, nothing in common with Allah, the Islamic God. He is not Jesus Christ. He is not Allah. He most certainly is not Jehovah. He is not the Lord. So you need to know who he is and decide whether or not you like him. You need to understand what he's offering and decide, do you want that? You need to take a moment and understand his style, his approach to learning, to growing, and decide if that's something you want to do for all eternity. Now, if it is, here are the five conditions. The first is to walk away from your country. Walk away from your father's house. Walk away from Babylon. Yahweh describes Babylon as Satan's most powerful and negative influence in our lives. It's a blend of religion and politics, patriotism and militarism. And God says, if you want to be part of his family, you will have to leave those things. He doesn't want any of those things drug into his home. If you're a patriot, you're not welcome. If you're pro-military, you're not welcome. If you are political and you would define yourself as a Republican or Democrat or an environmentalist or whatever, you're not welcome. And most certainly if you're religious. If you define yourself as a Christian or a Muslim, you're not welcome. God doesn't want any of those human poisons dragged into heaven. If he were to allow them, then heaven would be no better than the hell we experience and the pain and the anguish on earth. They have no place in God's home. And so the first requirement, a prerequisite, if you will, just like we have opposing thumbs on our hands. The prerequisite for participating in the covenant is to walk away from our country, from Babylon, from the influence of religion and politics and militarism and patriotism. Now that's scary for many of you. Because you will find yourself walking away from your father's home, from societal traditions, from those that you may have gone to church with, to those that you may have gone to parades with, to the vast majority who share what was your former view of patriotism and militarism. You're going to have to leave all that behind. Now, I'm going to tell you, once you're on the other side, good riddance. But there's a period of time that's lonely, scary. After a period of time, you're glad that you have disassociated. You feel how scummy and dirty and deadly and disgusting all that was, and how dishonest it all is, immoral it all is, and you'll be glad that you have disassociated from it. It's a benefit. The second condition of the covenant is to trust and rely on Yahweh. So rather than trusting in your military, as the patriots would say, oh, we have so much to thank and be grateful for our troops. They have given us this great opportunity to live in a free land. I haven't done squat for that. But if you want liberty, if you want freedom, if you want opportunity, it comes from Yahweh. You need to trust and rely on him and him alone to provide it. If you're going to rely on your country for your security, for your prosperity, then you are going to be disappointed. If you rely on Yahweh, you're going to be elated. That's the second condition to participate in the covenant. You cannot rely on your government or your religion for anything worthwhile. Everything, you rely on Yahweh. The third condition is to walk to Yahweh so that he can make you perfect. There's only one path that God has provided to him. There's only one path that Yahweh himself is engaged to enable. begins with the doorway labeled Pesach, Passover. It's the doorway to life. It then crosses the threshold where we are scrubbed of our sins so we can be welcomed into Yahweh's home. It's called matzah. It's unyeasted bread where the fungus of religion and politics is scrubbed from our soul. So we are rendered perfect in Yahweh's eyes. The third step along that journey is Bakurim. It means firstborn children. We're adopted into Yahweh's family. But we don't want to simply be dependents upon Yahweh. We don't want to simply stay as babies, which are hard to communicate with. Yeah, they coo and they smile, but you can't really talk to a baby. You can't go off and do things with a baby. To be such that we grow up so that we can engage with our Heavenly Father and do things together and go off and explore together and celebrate together, reason together and converse together, we need to grow. And Yahweh provides the means for His children on this path to our ultimate camping out with Him on Shavua. It's the promise of the Shabbat, the promise of seven. And there we are enriched with His teaching, the Torah, and empowered and enlightened with His Spirit, just as Dod spoke about being covered by Yahweh. This takes us to the fifth step along the way, which is Teruah. That's an event that we will be celebrating and talking about in this program very soon because it is approaching us. And on Teruah, we share Yah's message. Those of us who have been beneficiary, the first four Moed Mikre, share this approach to Yahweh with all who would listen. Then is Yom Kippurim. It is yet to be fulfilled. On Yom Kippurim, Yahweh will renew and reaffirm His Torah, His existing Torah, with His children upon His return, with Yisrael and with Yahudim. And we celebrate that restoration and reconciliation of the relationship. It is the day of reconciliations, which is what Kippurim means. And finally, the seventh step along the way is the destination, Sukkah. It means tents or tabernacle or camping out, where we get to camp out with our Heavenly Father and His universe for all time. That is the third condition of the covenant, that we walk to God along the path that He has provided so that He can make us perfect. Now, the fourth condition for participating in the covenant is to observe the covenant, to pay attention to what God had to say, to consider its terms and conditions, to evaluate the offer, to evaluate the benefits, to come to know the father and spiritual mother of this family-oriented relationship, to come to know who they are, to understand what they're offering, and to accept them, accept those terms and conditions, the very things that we're talking about right now. And finally, we're asked as parents to circumcise our sons on the eighth day. It's our way of saying that we are going to raise our children to be covenant children. That's the most important thing we can do in our lives, is to share the covenant and the Torah and Yahweh with our children, agreeing to make our family model Yahweh's family. Circumcision of our sons on the eighth day. Those are the five terms and conditions of the covenant. The five benefits are all powered, enabled by the path that Yahweh has provided to His home through Pesach, Matzah, Bakurim, and Shavuah, where we become immortal, perfect, adopted, enriched, and empowered. That is what Dod came to embrace. That is what Yahweh is offering you. He's inviting you to receive all of these benefits. And hopefully, listening to this program, you will come to reject Paul, come to reject Christianity. If you're among the younger listeners and you were indoctrinated with political correctness and you now embrace socialist secular humanism and would consider yourself an agnostic, give the testimony of Yahweh a chance. claim, if you have such indoctrination that you're open to evidence and reason, put him to the test. Consider what he has to say in the Torah. Determine whether or not he proves his existence. Determine whether or not his presentation is consistent, merciful, valuable, enlightened, appropriate. And if it is, and he proves his existence to you as he has to me, then consider accepting what he has to offer. Now, let's consider one last word of advice, some of which also appeared at the during one of our previous presentations. It's a bit of guidance that comes from the Torah itself. Moshe is summarizing what he has learned for our benefit. He says, the covered and concealed belong to Yahweh, our God, and those things which are revealed and made known belong to us and are for our children eternally and forever. To act upon and to conduct ourselves in accordance with all of the words of this, the Torah. Now, when we return, we're going to consider the summation of the Torah's promises in Devarim. We'll be back. The covered and concealed belong to Yahweh. Doge just explained that once we accept the terms and conditions of the covenant, we are covered and concealed by God. God's children are covered and concealed, and therefore we're part of his family. We belong to him. So the covered and concealed belong to Yahweh, our God. And those things which are revealed and made known belong to us. The Torah, therefore, belongs to us. It's God's gift to us. And are for our children eternally and forever, not until Paul came along and tried to change everything, eternally and forever. Why does the Torah exist? To act upon and to conduct ourselves in accord with all of the words of this Torah. Torah means teaching, guidance, direction. Indeed, truly and surely, you should actually listen to the voice and the call, the invitation and the summons of Yahweh, your God, for the purpose of observing, closely examining, and carefully considering the terms and conditions of his binding covenant contract and his clearly communicated prescriptions regarding how to be cut into that relationship, which are inscribed in the written scroll of this, the Torah. That is because you will actually be transformed, be changed, be restored, and return to Yahweh, your God, with all of your heart and emotions and with all of your soul and inner nature. Want to listen to God? Recite the Torah. You want to come to know God? Closely observe, closely examine, carefully consider the two central aspects of the Torah. The inscribed instructions that cut us into the covenant relationship and the conditions of the covenant contract itself, all of which are delineated in the scroll of the Torah, because it will cause you to be transformed. It's guidance that will direct your return to Yahweh. For these terms and conditions of the covenant relationship agreement, which beneficially I am instructing and guiding you this day, they are not too difficult for you. They're not a hardship for you. They're not beyond your reach. No, instructions are never a hardship. Instructions are a benefit. That's such a difference between the Christian and the accurate interpretation of the Torah. The Torah is not difficult. It's heavenly advice. It's guidance. It's not a hardship. It's uplifting. It's empowering. It's enriching. For indeed, the exceedingly powerful and great word of your God facilitates your approach and brings you near, enabling you to engage in a close and personal relationship as part of your speech, in your heart, influencing your feelings and attitude to engage with, capitalize upon, and celebrate him. Open your eyes. Establish this perspective. And become aware, I am offering on your behalf and in your presence this day an association with the life and an association with that which is good, but also that which is associated with death and that which is associated with bad, evil, wickedness, and destructiveness. Because it's a choice. You can choose good or bad, life or death. It's your choice. Because that which I am instructing and guiding you this day is for the purpose of you really wanting to genuinely love and demonstrate your affection in a personal and familial relationship so as to be associated with Yahweh, your God, and achieving this result by actually walking in His ways. You want to engage in a family-oriented relationship with Yahweh? Walk in the path that He has provided. And for the purpose of actually observing, closely examining, and carefully considering His terms and conditions as they pertain to His binding relationship agreement, His clearly communicated and inscribed prescriptions of what we should do in life to be cut into the relationship. And of course, His means to exercise good judgments so that we can justly resolve disputes and also to restore your life and to keep you alive, renewing and preserving your life so that you grow and live and so as to make you great, increasing you exponentially so that you grow in every possible way. And so that Yahweh, your God, will kneel down, diminishing Himself in love to greet you, to welcome you, to bless you, to invoke favors upon you in the realm where relationally you are going and will be included within this named place of renown, receiving it as an inheritance. That's Yah's promise.